what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On, Season 3, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wonderful, wild world of wrestling on Wednesdays. Today on Wild On, we have another doubleheader. We have two very different women, Evelyn Salvarinas, who works in the field of spirituality, auras, and chakras, and Masha Slamovic, someone who works in their field in a way that makes them unique, blazing their own path, the newest member of the Knockouts roster. By way of Russia and New York City, ladies and gentlemen, my girl, Masha Slamovic. So how long were you in Japan for?
I was there all of 2020.
Wow. So you were there during COVID?
Yeah.
And did you have to get like a work visa or anything like that to go over there?
Yeah, originally before I went over, they figured out all the paperwork and just sent it over to the embassy, and I would just have to show up and like receive paperwork, but we had just had to keep renewing it because I was originally going to be there for 3 months, but then we had to keep renewing it so that I could stay for the whole year.
That's crazy. The only reason I ask is not because of the legitimacy of your stay, but because it was during COVID. Like, that must have been so much more involved. Like, Japanese culture is so like strict and by the book, and you were in it. Like, you were in it during COVID.
Yeah. You know, it was sort of strict, but it was still pretty normal. Like, you were allowed to go out and eat. You know, that was like something we pretty much couldn't like go to bars or party in large groups, that kind of stuff. But, you know, life was like relatively normal. And then after 3 months, we were just back doing live shows already.
You were originally going to just be there for 3 months. How did that extend? Like, what was the process behind that?
Around the second month, they asked me what my plans were for April because they wanted to send me to do Sendai Girls in the beginning of the month and then put me on the Gaia return show that was supposed to happen later that month or in June.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep me there to train because they said that they saw potential in me and that I was doing really well. So of course, you know, I said yes. And I canceled all the plans that I had for WrestleMania week, which, I mean, obviously that didn't matter because they all went to shit anyways.
Right.
But once I found out that, you know, even the shows weren't going to be happening and everything was shut down, I still thought to myself, I'm not going to go home and sit there with no gym and just do nothing. I'm just going to train in the dojo and devote myself to wrestling.
Good for you. And was your stay in Japan life-changing, career-changing?
100%. I'm just a totally new person, a totally new wrestler. Just completely changed everything while I was over there. The amount of knowledge that I gathered while I was over there was incomprehensible.
If people ask me what should I do as a new wrestler, like, of course you want to get booked as much as you can, but get out of your comfort zone, go to Japan, go to Mexico, go somewhere where English is not the first language, because the life skills you will pick up and how you are able to put together matches and what you're capable of completely flourishes. You know, everyone wants to talk about wrestling being a work and, you know, it not being real. But then how are we able to put together matches without sharing the same language? You learn how to read body language, and I don't know, it's a really beautiful thing you could do for your career. And obviously it's paid off for you in leaps and bounds.
I certainly agree with you in the sense that wrestling is almost a universal language, aside from Mexico, where they do everything on the right.
it's a backwards language.
Yeah, you know, you don't necessarily need to all know English or know whatever language because you all just know how to communicate within the bounds of professional wrestling. And it certainly did completely change my career to, you know, go over there because I just had such a different understanding of, you know, the matches and just work, everything, my persona, my attitude, whatever you want to call it, completely changed for the better.
No, I think it's wonderful. And like I said, look at the huge payoff. I'm sure, you know, you're breezing over some of it. It's scary. It's lonely. You know, you've left your friends and your family at home. There's so much in it. So where are you from originally?
I'm from Moscow, Russia.
Okay.
When I'm in the United States, I'm mostly based out of New York City. Yeah, pretty much here when I'm not on the road.
How did you come up with that name? Because I think it's genius for so many different reasons.
Well, the name Masha was actually the name of one of my childhood friends. And she passed away when she was 19 and I was 17. So I decided to take her name and do something good with it. And I think I certainly have over the years. And Slamovich, I mean, that's Slamovich. You just made it Russian.
It's fucking genius. It's genius. I love it.
I really took a risk on that. I was like, this might be really stupid or really cool. And it turned out to be pretty cool.
No, it's great. And it fits your persona, what you put out there. So why wrestling? How, you know, you obviously, you're a bit of a nomad. You've kind of been everywhere. What drew you to professional wrestling?
I saw professional wrestling when I was really young on TV, like 3 or 4 years old, super, super young.
Yep.
I just remember all the like kids when I was in school, everyone's like, yeah, I want to like be a cop or be a doctor. I'm like, that all sounds so mundane and boring and depressing. Yeah. And I just thought that wasn't for me. And I was like, oh man, being a ninja would be pretty cool. But then I learned that there were not professional ninjas out there. I saw professional wrestling and, you know, boxing and stuff like that. But pro wrestling really, it just spoke to me. And the first time I watched it, within like, you know, the first couple of matches, I knew that that was my thing. I was meant to do this. And I just was laser focused on it since then.
And how old were you when that kind of really sunk in?
It was like that first time seeing it. I was a little kid, but I just knew. Wow. I just knew that there was some kind of attraction or obsession or something, but I just knew this was my thing.
And where did you start training? Was it in Russia? Was it in America?
I started training in Brooklyn, New York, under Johnny Rods at his school, the World of Unpredictable Wrestling. There we go.
And how long were you training before you had your first match?
I trained about a year and a half. Okay. I started on November 22nd of 2014, and I couldn't wrestle until I was 18 in the state of New York.
Yeah.
And by the time I had turned 18, we already had Japanese scouts who had come to the school because of our relationship with the dojos in Japan and Mexico.
Okay.
And they scouted me. And after I turned 18 and graduated high school, like 2 weeks later, I was in Tokyo having my debut match.
That's incredible. Now, what was the feeling going to Japan? That new in the business, you're young. Was it exhilaration? Was it fear? Was it all of the above?
I was just really excited, and I just wanted to do my best to represent myself and my country and, you know, my trainer, because, yeah, you know, this is my debut and I was coming from the school, so I couldn't embarrass everybody, myself included. But I never had any fear going around traveling. I was always very excited for it and looking for a new adventure.
Okay, that's great, because I think, you know, there's so many mixed emotions that go into it, but I think that's you. It sounds like laser focus, setting a goal, achieving that goal, that's very much ingrained into your personality. Is that what I'm gathering?
Definitely. You know, being raised in a Russian household, we're very goal oriented. There's not much like playing around. Even if it's anything, it'll be made into a hobby or into some competition. So we're always just striving to be the best and focused at what we want as a nation.
No, I get it. Like, I'm half Polish. I grew up with a lot of Russian, Ukrainian, and I know what those households are like. Now, what about your family or your chosen family? How do they feel about you being a professional wrestler and this being your career?
They probably still think I'm a little crazy. They see some of my matches and are greatly concerned for my health.
Right.
But my mom has always been really supportive. You know, she's the one who took me to Johnny Rods after I harassed her that she had to go with me because I was underage and he wouldn't talk to me directly.
Wow.
My dad was always just like, this is crazy. Maybe you'll get a job one day. And I think he finally came around to the idea that I'm not getting a job and this is my job. job.
So how old are you now?
I'm 23.
You said you saw it as a child and you're like, this is what I'm going to do. But we all have to do things to survive up until this point. Did you ever think like, oh, I'll go to college, I'll go to university, or I'll work this part-time job to facilitate my way to becoming a professional wrestler? Or was it wrestling full steam?
You know, while I was in my wrestling journey, I did simultaneously attend college and get my associate's degree in criminal justice.
Wow.
So I don't know how I managed to do that, but I did. And I did work a couple of part-time jobs, but it was, you know, for like a couple of months. I pretty much wanted to stay busy between bookings and not be lazy. And then bookings picked up and I had to quit. So
you weren't like a gypsy kind of person where you were just like hustling in between wrestling, and you legitimately tried to have a normal life with wrestling.
I would say the gypsy route was more what it was like, honestly, yeah. Because I spent so much time on the road even before kind of becoming known in the States more in the middle of 2019. You know, I was already traveling on the road in Canada for 3 months. You know, I was in the Dominican Republic, Russia, Puerto Rico, all these places. I would chase wrestling wherever the wrestling was. That's where I would go. I never wanted to have a normal life.
I don't think any of us do, and none of us are normal, or we wouldn't be in this world. This is where we fit in the wrestling world, and that in itself explains so much.
Definitely does.
And I do think they're, you know, having this unspoken language, like we don't know each other, but and we've lived very different lives, but in a way, you know, I feel we have wrestling and that bonds us together, and there's probably so many parallels in our lives, but hopefully I'll get to know you on a more personal level as time goes.
I certainly hope so too. I do think that wrestling is something that bonds, you know, wrestlers from many different walks of life, because, you know, at the end of the day, we live in two different worlds. We live in the professional wrestling world and the real world. And, you know, everyone is a brother here in the wrestling world compared to the other real world where half of us probably wouldn't even like each other.
Yeah, no, it's true. Or have no reason to ever speak with one another.
Exactly.
So is it safe to say you have a home now in terms of professional wrestling? Are you a new knockout? Is that, can we confirm that?
We can confirm that.
Yay! I'm so excited.
I was the speaker the week before, so I'm super excited.
Good. I'm so happy. And welcome to the Knockouts locker room. I'm not sure when you start, but I'm so excited to work with you. I saw your matches and you're bringing such an exciting element to the Knockouts that has been missing. So I'm happy that you've chosen that as your home. Selfishly, I'm happy that you've chosen that as your home.
I'm happy too. Good. You know, having this little bit of history with Impact, it's always been a possibility. And I guess the way things worked out, it became a possibility sooner rather than later, and I'm happy for it, and I'm very excited to compete against all the women and men of the division.
Absolutely. A place where you can do both, and it's supported, and people believe it. So, yeah, I think you've got a long career ahead of you with Impact. Well, it was lovely to get to know you, but I like to end every episode with my 10 tailor-made questions. It's a little bit of a speed round, but don't feel rushed in your answers. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Name a beauty product you can't live without.
A blender sponge.
Oh, yes, girl.
Yeah, that's the only way I'll ever apply concealer ever again.
I hear you. What is your favorite exercise?
Running.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
People being just ignorant or unreasonable and unable to be convinced otherwise.
Yeah, assholes. Don't be an asshole, people. Who is your celebrity crush?
What classifies as a celebrity?
You know what? I will let you choose your own adventure.
You know what? If they don't already know, they ain't gonna know.
Okay. Okay, touche. What is your favorite band or artist?
Kiss.
Kiss. Nice. I didn't see that coming. Okay. Do you have a secret vice, like drinking a glass of wine in the shower?
A secret vice. Well, there's a reason they named me Miss 420 in this year's PWI. So,
yes. Is it legal in New York?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Here too, girl. It's what Canada's all about.
Canada did it first, so.
Right? But I feel like New York and, like, we're so close to New York. Like, I feel like there's a lot of similarities in the way we function as people, except New Yorkers are much harder than us. We're very polite.
When I go up there, you guys always say I'm a bit rough around the edges.
I feel like you probably are just more honest and probably polarized. Whereas here, we're also worried about like appearances and politeness. And I don't think that's always the healthiest way. I appreciate when someone is what you see is what you get. Like, I don't gather that there's a lot of sugarcoating in your life, and I'm okay with it. I like that.
Definitely not a lot of sugarcoating.
Definitely not a lot of sugar. What wrestler has the best entrance music?
Minoru Suzuki.
Obviously. What is your drink of choice? Doesn't have to be alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic. I really like orange juice and tea.
And what was your most embarrassing moment in the ring?
It's like I almost remember. I remember totally messing up like something, but I don't remember what it was. But I just remember, oh, that's what it was. I tried to kick the rope. So I had, it was actually a match against Thunder Rosa, and I had her, I was choking her over the third rope, and I stepped back to kick it, and I totally just like slip on a banana peel and
yeah,
didn't even touch the rope, and I just eat shit on my ass, and I'm just like, there's no recovering from this. And I just completely land on myself. Like,
ta-da.
Yeah, that didn't work out well for me.
What did the crowd do? Did they turn on you?
Everyone was just like, confusion. And I'm just like, yeah, man, me too.
That's brilliant. You know what? It's much funnier because you're such a serious persona. Like, you're such a serious wrestler. For that to fucking happen, you're just like,
yeah, man. I'm like, I can't cover this up. I can't make this look like it wasn't a mistake.
Oh, you recovered. Your career went on. It's fine. Okay, finish this lyric. Wanna rock and roll
all night and party every day. Fuck yeah.
Good job. Okay, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon, all of them at Masha Slamovich. And I just have a new merch release. New collaboration with Stiff Blade. So you can find all of my new awesome t-shirts and hoodies at stiffblade.com, along with prowrestlingtees.com for the old stuff. But like, totally check out the new stuff first.
There you have it. Well, thank you again for taking the time out, and I'm really excited to meet you and work together in the future.
Me too. Hope to see you soon.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you.
Well, I can't lie. Masha is exactly how I expected her to be. What you see is what you get. She's Russian and she's a New Yorker, so she's hard. But I feel like there's layers there. Anyone that can belt out a Kiss song has a soft, fun side. And I'm going to find it.
As a friend, as an old memory.
Wild ones. Sit, lay, get in a relaxing position, open your third eye, and hold space for my girl, Evelyn Salvarinas, the Aurora photographer. Well, it's nice to see you again so soon.
Nice to see you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
For sure. So you're a podcast version. Yeah. This is your first podcast.
Yeah, this is exciting.
I feel like, especially during the pandemic, so many people picked up either starting their own podcasts or diving into podcasts.
I went like further into Real Housewives, like deeper and deeper into Bravo.
Hey, we did what we had to do to survive.
You know, it makes me feel good.
Do you go by like a spiritual name or anything like that? Or it's just
Evelyn? Okay, yeah. Good.
Just, I interview a lot of wrestlers, so there's always that moment where you're like, do you go by your real name, your stage name? Now, are you from Toronto originally?
Mm-hmm. I'm from technically Scarborough, so I was born in Scarborough and raised in Toronto, Scarborough, Markham area, and my whole life. I went to U of T for university, and then I ended up going to New York for grad school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I did a master's in fine art history at Sotheby's Institute in New York.
Wow.
And that's kind of like how, like, where I first discovered aura photography. So while I was there, I would get my aura photographed at Magic Jewelry in Chinatown in New York, and loved it. I just loved going. I loved getting the reading. I loved the picture being different every time. I liked kind of like deciphering what it meant compared to how I felt. Like, it was just so fun for me to do.
Yeah.
And so I moved back to Toronto a couple years later and was like, okay, great. Like, who's going to do my aura photo? I'm so excited now. Like, what does my aura look like now that I'm in Toronto?
Yeah.
And nobody had the camera and the film that was used for this photo. So I was like, okay, like, is there anybody possibly that could do this? If not, like, could it be me? And so that's kind of how it all started.
And that is exactly how I found you. I read an article about an aura reading photographer in the thick of Chinatown in New York City. Then I was diving deep. I was like, Toronto is a diverse cultural epicenter. We have everything.
Right? That's what I thought. I was like, where's the aura photography?
Right? And I was like, nothing. There's, you, like, I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm 35 and used to be able to go down to Chinatown and go downstairs and get like a fake ID and a bong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I can't believe that there was no aura photography. So that's how I found you.
Yeah, there were some people, like, when I was doing my research, I did find some people that were kind of like in Mississauga, in Scarborough. But what I found was that they had either digital versions of the camera.
Okay.
So it wasn't the, like, P100C film that I use.
Yeah.
And then there's also like an Instax version of the camera. So it's still a different, it's instant film versus I use film. So it's like there's a peel apart, there's a positive, there's a negative.
Yeah.
And the film that I use is discontinued. So it's like,
oh,
a very specific kind of photography that like almost doesn't exist anymore. So I was like really adamant on getting the original technology and the original film. Cause I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it the way that it was intended.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what I kind of like went on the hunt for. I found the camera. I actually purchased the camera from Guy Coggins. So the person who invented it was the person who sold it to me just before he sold the company.
Oh my good.
So it was cool to be able to like speak with him on the phone, and like it was such a fun experience. And then sourcing the film was kind of the next hurdle because it was discontinued basically a year after I started.
Wow.
But it keeps in the fridge for a couple of years. Like, you can keep film and it doesn't degrade that much over time. So I basically have a lot in fridges all over, and that's what I've done. So like sourcing the film has been a bit of a feat, but it is important to me to have that original technology, to have that kind of like depth of color in the film and have like the more information rather than using something digital or using something that is maybe like a cheaper imitation of it.
I think what incredible alignment that you are able to buy the camera from the gentleman who invented it just before he sold his company. Like, that, you know, I get goosebumps thinking about that.
Yeah, you know what? I thought it was such a cool story, but I haven't really thought of it that way. Like, it was a real exciting experience being able to like to call up and Guy Coggins answered the phone and just to be able to like speak with him and talk to him about his camera and talk to him about kind of his journey. Like, it was really, really exciting. So that, yes, you are right. Like, that is such an amazing kind of story of alignment. And then being able to source the film kind of at the right time before it's all gone. Like, if you were to get into it now, I think you would have to do digital or Instax. Like, I don't think you would be able to even get the original technology anymore.
I feel like in a way you kind of passed the torch off to you. And did you tell him that this was your, the reason you were doing this was because you moved back to Toronto and you couldn't find what you had started this journey with and you wanted to kind of do it yourself?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's really cool.
It was nice to be able to kind of like bring that experience to Toronto. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to have people in the city that I was from be able to experience this thing that, like, it's in New York, it's in LA, like, it's in these other cities that are these big major cities, as are we. So like, as you were saying, like, where's our aura photography?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so thankful that you have brought it to Toronto, because I just had my first aura photography reading with you, and going through a divorce where I was really unauthentic in my marriage and kind of feel like I was living a few different lives. I've had two very masculine jobs in my career, and I'm inherently pretty feminine, and having to feel like I have to be all these different versions of myself because I don't really fit into a box. I am equal parts masculine and feminine.
We're everything.
Yeah. And being able to like integrate just being me opened up my love again, because it was always a part of me being spiritual, but to really be like, I totally believe in crystals and manifestation and leading with gratitude and believing that, you know, there's God, spirit, universe, and finding you was another step of this journey. And I've aligned with such amazing women in my own city, yourself, Sabrina, who you take photos of regularly. I'm really thankful that I got to experience it. And God, what an experience.
Yeah, how did you like it? How did you find it?
You know, it was myself and I brought a friend along, and I couldn't believe the difference in our auras, and learning that your aura changes by day. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have gone in the next day and it would have been completely different. And I will say, girlfriend, you cut deep. Like, you had my number. I was like, you know, my friend and I, we were joking on the way home, and he had said, you know, I've told you those things before. but it's another part of my spiritual journey, knowing that, you know, you told me how people perceive me, what their feelings are when they start talking to me, what I'm putting out into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing was I lead with love, and I take care of people. My job is, I'm a firefighter. And I have a son, and I have a lot of amazing friends and family, but I don't do well with taking love in.
Right.
And that's my biggest challenge, my self-worth, loving myself, making time for myself, self-care, and aligning myself with spirituality has been my version of self-care. Because I do all the, you know, I've been an athlete my whole mm-hmm. life. I drink water, I eat good food, I work out. Like, that is self-care for certain people, but that's a part of who I am. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's self-care, but like, self-love is one step extra, right? To show yourself that kind of like love and compassion and respect first before kind of giving it out to others, rather than prioritizing people over yourself, is something that like I do see often in photos, where like I want people to start with themselves, because like, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Start with yourself, fill yourself up with that love, with that, like, everything that you're giving out to others, you deserve it tenfold. So start with yourself, and then you can kind of spread that around. But it's cool to be able to feel something and then see something, and that reaffirms what you were feeling.
Yes. Oh, 100%. And I think that's what people really start to understand about, you know, spirituality and your aura and the energy you put out into the world. It's, there's so much more than we know. Like, it's the For journey sure. is endless.
Yeah. And it's like, and just because we can't see it, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean we don't understand it inherently. We understand energy, we understand how we feel, we understand how other people make us feel. Like, we understand what that is, but because there isn't anything concrete to say this is what this is, it's hard to put our finger on it. But once you can see it
yeah.
and see that photo of it in that moment, to say, hey, in this moment, this is how I'm feeling and this is what that looks like.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to understand your growth, to understand yourself, to understand kind of like what it looks like when you feel certain things. And mm-hmm. it's just like a piece of the puzzle. It's something that like I hope people enjoy doing, just to of get a deeper understanding for them of themselves. Like, it's just something that like I am happy to show people.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not, yeah, I'm just translating it for you.
Right.
I'm just like, I want you to take from the experience what you will. I'm just translating what the colors mean in the places that they mean.
Yeah.
And it's all entirely you.
What I think is beautiful about you and your aura photography is, like myself, I identify as being someone very spiritual. I'm on this journey. I'm very honest about it. I don't have any shame of being weird or different or hippy-dippy. That doesn't bother me. But somebody else might be interested in these kind of things, but they're not so sure in themselves. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to hear other people's opinions. What I think is neat about aura photography, it's something tangible that you can have, that you see, and then you give them their reading. And it, you can kind of jump into this at any point because it's not homework. It's something you can physically do. And I think it would be, I think it's really cool because it can be for someone on their journey already, or it kind of might be a little bit of a catalyst to say, wow, this was, I really felt this and it really spoke to me and I'd like to learn more about this.
I definitely have people who come who are very into it, and I have lots of people that are repeat customers. They like to see their energy change and shift over time, which is amazing to see. But I also have people who are really into it who bring people who aren't so into it, and their reactions are actually my favorite because they come and they're very, I don't really want to do this, like what is this, like,
yeah.
And then they leave, they're like, oh, that was actually pretty cool, like thank you so much, that was a really interesting experience. And like,
yeah,
it's not, again, I'm not showing you anything scary, I'm not showing you anything that you don't already know. So a lot of people I think are apprehensive because they're like, what is she going to tell me? Like, what is it going to reveal about me? But really, yeah, it's just showing what you feel currently. We all know what we feel. We all know how, or generally, like, hopefully, we know what's kind of going on and, like, what our general energy that we're putting out is. We know what that feels like. But just to give that a visual component is just, like, an extra added layer. It's just an extra cool step. And if you are really, really into it, take it, learn from it. You can learn kind of which chakras aren't as open as others. Work on those chakras. Think about what is making those chakras spin a little bit smaller. Or you can just take the photo and say, that was a cool photo. And, you know, move on.
Yeah.
It's entirely up to
totally.
You.
Totally.
And that's really the best part, is that it is customer focused. Like, I want the person who I'm taking the photo of to get whatever they want out of it.
Could have been so high, but it was not for you and I. You and I.
Where did your journey stem from? So here you are, you're in New York City, you go get your aura photography, but I don't imagine you were just like, I'm gonna wake up today and get that. How did you get to that point?
I had seen it. I had seen pictures of it. I knew that it was around. It, like, Instagram, it was like 2011, 2012. So it was like a while ago.
Okay.
So it wasn't like as bumping as it is now in terms of my explore page, like that didn't exist back then.
Right.
So it was a little bit harder to find, but like I found it and I just kept on going. But when I was in New York, I was there for art history.
Right.
So at U of T, I did an art history specialist. In New York, I did a master's of art history. And so I thought I'd come back to Toronto and I'd get this like amazing job and I'd be like in the arts. And when I got back, like I really couldn't find any work. Like I was trying to apply for volunteer positions, like I couldn't find anything. And I was like, okay, well, this isn't necessarily where I thought I'd be, but I couldn't find anyone to do my aura photo. So they kind of, it just happened simultaneously, like right place, right time, where I was like, okay, I don't have a job, I can't find a job. Here is this opportunity that's like presenting itself to me. It could be a really big leap. Like maybe nobody wants it. Like I didn't know what the temperature for aura photography in Toronto would be. I just kind of hoped that it would work, mm-hmm. and people were really responsive to it. So I'm really, really grateful that people want to see more of themselves and people are that supportive of my business that like they want to come back again and again. I just appreciate it.
And it's a hot commodity because you put it out like a lottery system and like I can't get in there fast enough.
Well, before the pandemic, it was a little bit easier to book an appointment.
Okay.
When everything shut down, because the photo requires you to put your hands on sensors, I shut down as well.
Right.
So I didn't take photos for basically a year.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of put myself in with personal services because I was like, okay, this feels kind of akin to like a haircut situation where you're like close enough with somebody, you have to put your hands on something. We didn't really know anything that was going on. So I just tried to be as careful as possible. And when we were allowed, like personal care was allowed to open up, I was like, okay, great. But in that time that I wasn't allowed to take photos, I had to get a full-time job. So now I have a full-time job that I'm also doing as well as photos. So I'm just trying to figure out the balance at this point, how much I can do. So I'm only doing 3 to 4 days a month.
Okay.
For my own sake and my own energy. Before the pandemic, I was really kind of like running myself raw, doing too many events and too many photos.
Okay.
So it was a learning experience for me, as it was for a lot of people, because what I found, like coming back post, not post pandemic, but like post lockdowns and where we're at currently, everybody's energy is a lot more dynamic and a lot brighter and a lot, I don't want to say better than before, but you can tell that people have taken this time to actually do something for their energy and for themselves rather than just running around working. So what I found previously, like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people were red, which essentially meant they were just running around, they were doing too many things. Like, and it wasn't like a bright, healthy red. It was kind of like a depleted red. And that's what I was as well, constantly. Because I was just kind of giving my energy away. And I was like, it's okay because everybody's getting so much from it, right? And with, you know, having to take a step back and having to slow down and not having to have those expectations that we had previously, people have definitely put up a lot more boundaries. Like I know I certainly have, where I used to just say yes to everything. Like, yes, I will do that event. I will double book in a day. Like I'll do whatever. And now I'm just like, you know what? I actually can't. I can't for my own energy. So I know people are disappointed that it is a little difficult to get in. But I also think that like whenever you get that appointment, you're supposed to see whatever you're supposed to see at that time. Like that's the message that you're supposed to get. So even if like you couldn't book for whatever reason, it wasn't the right time for you to get your photo. Whenever you do get in, that's the right time for you to see what you need to see.
I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that. And I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, you offer this service, but it's just, it's not like overly accessible. Like it's quite a special thing. It's something that you shouldn't get done every day, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And because the film is discontinued as well, like there's a limited amount left. So I really had to rethink like, how quickly do I really want to be giving these appointments away? Because it means that people won't get to experience it sooner in the future. So I'm really trying to figure out what makes most sense for me and my energy, but also what makes sense for like the longevity of being able to do this.
Of course. Well, fingers crossed that, you know, when that sad day comes, that if you are out of film, there's a plan B, C, D that we can make it work.
Yeah. It'll all work out the way it's supposed to. So I'm not overly concerned, but like I'm just trying to do the best I can to
understood. Tell them. Now, do you have a standout reading or a favorite reading that you've had over the years?
I don't really necessarily have like a standout reading. I love, I love seeing when people are just fully aligned. Like when you're a full rainbow, it's kind of the rarest thing that I see. When like the base of your spine to the top of your head, every single color is active and open. Like they're all really exciting and they all like mean something, not only to me, but like to everybody who's receiving them as well.
Now, is there anything that you would like our listeners to know about being an aura photography that might not be readily available on the internet? Is there any misconceptions or just anything about you that you would like people to know about aura photography?
Okay, well, aura photography, it's capturing your biochemical energy field. So we all have an energy field around us at any time. Every living thing has an energy field around them. And we know that through scientific fact. So like we understand scientifically that energy exists, energy around us exists. And I just hope that people will be open to the idea of being able to visualize that energy walking around them at all times and being able to kind of understand like this is something that changes second to second. So as our feelings, as our thoughts, as our locations, like as everything about us changes second to second, our energy changes second to second. So I guess the thing that I would like people to know is that nothing is fixed. Everything is constantly changing, and it's all in flux. It is all about kind of like what we do with it and how we kind of move through the world and move through our spaces. But like, we have so much power, we have so much potential, and we're just like, yeah, we're just rainbows walking around all the time, and we just need to kind of like unleash that, feel kind of all of our energy flowing from the base of our spine to the top of our head. So it's just something like I'd like people to see. I'd like people to kind of check in on themselves and understand, okay, this is where I'm powerful, this is where my energy is focused. If, let's say, I want to get somewhere else, let's say I want to be more communicative, I want to think about my intuition more, like, what do I need to do to get there? But also starting with that visual of like, okay, why aren't these colors there?
Right.
That kind of gets you to that place of understanding, I can be all things, I can be everything.
Right. I can be that rainbow. This is really special, unique, and not necessarily for someone who's in spirituality. Someone who just might be pulled on a date or looking for something outside the norm to do, but in a completely different way that gives you a perspective about yourself that you couldn't receive otherwise. Wild ones, I hope you're liking this little bit of je ne sais quoi? I don't even know what to call it. This insight, I guess, to my personal life and how I'm changing and how I'm learning and this continued education that I'm doing on myself inward. I've done a lot of work on the outside over the years, but as much as I've been a big advocate of looking after your mental health, and I have done, I'm really, really into this journey of my higher self and everything else that goes along with it. So I hope this spoke to one of you, some of you, all of you. And if you're not enjoying it, please do say something. If you are enjoying it, please send me a message. Tell me, how is this new journey of my spiritual awakening affecting you? I hope you enjoy all the content that Wild On brings you weekly. When you get Wild On Wednesday, you know it's always a little bit something different than what any other wrestling podcast out there can give you. I would not want to, and I could not, do this podcast without my badass punk rock girl band, my right-hand lady, my queen, editor and producer, Rochelle Duras, marketing specialist, Madison Golshani, and the newest member, our sound engineer from Superkick Studios, Matteo Sessa. Thank you guys. I love you. And until next week, stay calm and wild on.